Our scriptural passage this morning is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. And the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge of you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said, "All of these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Why did God give us this story about Jesus? And the use of the word tempted in this passage has always bothered me, so I had to look up the word. The original word that my Bible, the Revised Standard Version, uses and translates as tempted means tested. So our scripture can accurately be read that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. Muscles get tested to see how strong they are. Students get tested to see if they've learned enough to graduate. Our patience can be tested. Our resilience, fortitude, and abilities are tested. The word tested really helped me to look at this story in a much different way. Instead of probing Jesus for weakness, maybe the devil was probing him for his strengths, his abilities. Here's the three things I think this passage is teaching us. I'm going to tell them up front, and then we're going to talk about them together. First, this passage is teaching us that Jesus is the Son of God, the expected Messiah of Israel, the fulfillment of all the promises in the Old Testament, so that Israel's story is our story, the church's story. This connection is so important that the first chapter of Matthew makes it when it tells us about Jesus' genealogy. He is the descendant of King David and Abraham. It's so important that in the second chapter of Matthew, the wise men confess Jesus as King of the Jews. And that confession was believed by King Herod. King Herod believed it so much he killed babies in response to that belief. And then in the third chapter, John the Baptist confesses that Jesus is the Christ. And God himself, at Jesus' baptism, sends his Spirit down to say, "This is my beloved Son." So now in chapter 4 of Matthew, it's the devil's turn. Did you ever think that the devil is actually a witness to Jesus, that he is the Son of God? If the devil had not believed Jesus was a threat, he would have never bothered tempting him. Hold that thought, because I think the devil still acts that way today. It's only when we are a threat to him that the devil bothers to test us. So four times in the first four chapters of the book of Matthew, Matthew ties Jesus back to the story of Israel and identifies him as the Messiah. Now, the second thing this passage teaches us is that Jesus was tested as part of his preparation for ministry. That public ministry, we know, led him to crucifixion. And that's why the church observes Lent, which, culminates in Easter. Now, Lent is a period of preparation, not just a time of reflection and penitence, like preparing the ground for planting in the spring, preparing for ministry. Now, thirdly, this passage teaches us concrete ways that we ourselves can prepare for our own time of testing and our own ministries. So let's start with my first point. Jesus is the expected Messiah of Israel. The person who wrote the book of Matthew was writing predominantly to a Jewish audience. And those ancient Jewish people knew their Old Testament. They called it the Law and the Prophets. Our passage today begins by saying, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, it seems that in the Bible, the wilderness is always a place of preparation. Let's look at the story of John the Baptist. Where was John? In the wilderness. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah prophesied about John, saying, John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. In fact, the entire book of Numbers is about the story of Israel wandering in the wilderness when God was preparing them to go in and take the promised land. In fact, the name Numbers is actually inaccurate. The original Hebrew name for that book of the Bible is In the Wilderness. So to an ancient Jew, the first thing this scripture, when you say in the wilderness, calls to mind, when they hear that Jesus is called to the wilderness, is they think of Israel being sent to the wilderness to wander. So their ears immediately perked up to see what this story was all about. And then our passage says, Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungry. Who else fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? Moses. Moses didn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights while receiving the word of the law from God, what we call the Ten Commandments. And the prophet Elijah. He didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights when he went to Horeb, the Mount of God. So we've got Israel in the wilderness. We've got Moses in the wilderness. We've got Elijah in the wilderness. And now we've got Jesus in the wilderness. We've got Moses fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. We've got Elijah fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And now we've got Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. To a Jewish listener, this is huge. This story directly connects Jesus to Israel, the chosen people of God, to Moses, the giver of the law, and to Elijah, one of the major prophets. This connection is intentional, and Jesus reinforces it almost immediately in the very next chapter, Matthew 5, when he says, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." God wanted these Jewish listeners and us to know that this Jesus, his son, is the Messiah of Israel, the fulfillment of that promise. By the way, last week, remember when Reverend Jerry was teaching us about the transfiguration? Jesus goes up on the mountain, is transfigured. Who showed up with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. And what did God say when Peter wanted to build three booths to honor Moses and Elijah along with Jesus? God said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Now to my second point. Jesus was tested in order to prepare him for ministry. It was the Spirit of God who led Jesus into the wilderness, not the devil. And it was right after Jesus had been obedient and had been baptized to fulfill all righteousness. This was right after God had said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." This was a high point for Jesus. So did God give him time to enjoy the moment or relish the experience? Or did Jesus plunge right into the wilderness for testing? Now I have to tell you, I'd always thought that Jesus was tested at a low point. But I may have been wrong. I think I've been influenced too much by how we and how I've practiced Lent in the past. I've always thought of Lent as a time of sadness, of mourning, of repenting of my sins and trying to change, perhaps developing a good new habit of service. I think I let that influence how I read this passage instead of reading the words for what they actually say. Today I want you to think about whether Jesus was actually at a high point. He had just spent 40 days and 40 nights alone with God. What had he been doing out there? I suspect that he had been praying and in constant communion with his Father. No distractions, no people to heal, no disciples to guide and teach. 40 days and 40 nights of getting strong in the power of the Holy Spirit, feeding his spirit rather than his body. That's why the Spirit led him into the wilderness, to get strong, to prepare. Now, Jesus was tested 3 times by the devil, and he passed all 3 tests. The very first test was Jesus' own identity as the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. In effect, the devil's saying, if you're the Son of God, you don't have to be hungry. You got the power. You're God. Do it your own way. But what did Jesus say? Jesus quotes Scripture. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This Scripture is important, both for what it says and for what the story that it causes the Jewish listener to remember. What comes into the listener's mind? And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I was a child and I got mad because somebody had made fun of me or they'd teased me and my mother would see me fussing around, my mother would go, sticks and stones. That's all she said, sticks and stones. And she said it about like that too. But what I heard in my head was that old truism, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Mom didn't need to say the whole thing for me to hear the whole thing in my head. And Jesus quotes the old Scripture in exactly the same way my mother says, sticks and stones. When Jesus is tested by the devil, he quotes part of the Scripture. And the part that he quotes is part of a larger passage about where God fed the people of Israel with manna after allowing them to be hungry in the wilderness. The entire Scripture is in Deuteronomy 8:3, and it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The Israelites were allowed to go hungry on purpose, so they would learn to trust in God. Jesus was telling the devil by quoting that Scripture that he trusted in God to take care of him and defeat him, in God's way and in God's timing. Jesus is saying physical hunger is not an issue. The big issue is lack of trust in God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then that crafty devil tries again. He takes a different tactic. He uses Jesus' trust in God that he has just professed as a weapon. And the devil can quote Scripture too. He quotes Psalm 91, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. The devil is saying to Jesus, you say you trust in God. Prove it. Show me a sign. God says he's going to take care of you. Prove it. But how does Jesus respond? He again quotes Scripture right back, and it's another sticks and stones moment. Jesus says, again it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. This time it's from Deuteronomy 6:16. Deuteronomy 6:16 is the story of the Jewish people that these Jewish listeners would have automatically understood. When Israel did not trust God to provide them with water when they were in the wilderness. And Moses ends up striking the rock and the water coming out. Moses struck that rock because the children of Israel were screaming at him, is the Lord among us or not? Did you notice how similar that question is that the children of Israel were screaming to the question the devil is asking Jesus? Are you the Son of God? Prove it. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. This reminded me of all the times that Jesus was going to have to confront when the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees would demand a sign from Jesus. And Jesus would say, an evil and adulterous generation demands a sign. And he would refuse. It also reminds me of another beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Finally, the devil unloads everything he's got on Jesus. He takes Jesus to see all the kingdoms of the earth and all the glory of them. And he says he's going to give it to him if he'll just bow down and worship. Guess what? Jesus quotes scripture for a third time. And this time he asserts his authority. Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. Now, this third quote from Scripture is another sticks and stones moment. This time, it's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And this Old Testament story is a warning to the children of Israel about forgetting that everything that they own came from God. Their lands, their cisterns, their cattle, their vineyards, their crops, everything they have is a gift from God. And that if they forget that, they put themselves and their own abilities above the worship of God. Now, Jesus knew that his ministry was a ministry of humility, service, and sacrifice. A ministry that would put him on a cross, not bring him earthly glory. And this reminded me about how Jesus answered the question from the apostles about who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. And thirdly and finally, Jesus' example of his preparation in the wilderness gives us a roadmap to prepare for our own ministries. The devil tested Jesus by challenging his identity as the Son of God. He attempted to make Jesus' doubt God's provision for his life. And he attempted to distract Jesus from his God-given role of servanthood. I think these are the same kind of tests we face today as his disciples. And here's the roadmap that I think Jesus gives us in this story. First, be sensitive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Be still and listen for that small voice of God. Jesus did. That's hard in our lives, but we need it. Wilderness time, it's necessary to strengthen us for ministry. So spend time alone with God, maybe a lot of time, without distractions or daily cares. Alone time with God will help us see ourselves as beloved children, beloved of God. And we need that too. This passage teaches us that our testing will come when we are spiritually strong, just not when we're spiritually weak. In fact, by being effective in our ministries, we become a threat to the devil. So we need to be prepared for that testing, which gets me back to my other point, time alone with God in the wilderness. Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights alone with God. If he spent that kind of time, how much time will we need? This passage teaches us to be content with God's timing and to have trust in God to know what he's doing, that God is faithful. Otherwise, we put God to the test. Now, it doesn't bother God that we test him, but it's a finger pointing back at us. It's evidence against us that we don't have faith. And that gets me back to, we need to take that in our alone time to God in the wilderness. And lastly, we need to study the scriptures so that when it happens, we too can say like Jesus, it is written. So this passage in Matthew proclaims to us that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, the Son of the living God. God tells us he was tested by the devil to exercise his muscles and strength for public ministry, and that Jesus passed the test. Jesus' actions, his words, his responses to his own testing provide us with an example to follow as we prepare for our own ministries. Yes, Lent is a time of repentance, but it's a time for growing stronger in the Lord. We are still writing the church's story, a story that will continue for eternity. We're not called to stay in our sackcloth and ashes. We are called to worship the Lord our God with all our hearts and minds and to go forth in strength to serve him and to serve each other. We are called to use our wilderness experiences to bloom. So let's get growing.